You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, a new poll looks at Americans' feelings about the U.S. Supreme Court. We'll check out the results, and you can weigh in, too. Now, Republicans in the state legislature say the University of Wisconsin system can't put COVID-19 restrictions in place without their approval. On Tuesday, Republicans on a state legislative committee voted to require UW to submit coronavirus safety measures within 30 days. That includes policies like mask mandates, vaccine requirements, and mandatory COVID-19 testing. The move means lawmakers could strike down those COVID protocols the same day fall classes start for a lot of students. A note for listeners, Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of UW-Madison. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Should the state legislature have a say in COVID-19 measures UW system puts in place? What do you think the fall semester will look like without public health measures to prevent the spread of the virus? If you are a UW student or teacher or staff member or parent of a student anywhere in the state, call in and share your thoughts or questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Rich Kramer is a WPR reporter who covers higher education. He's based in Eau Claire. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Good to be back.
Well, this committee is the Joint Committee for Review of Administrative Rules. Tell us a little more about what they did on Tuesday and what it means for UW.
On Tuesday, there was basically a party line split. The Republicans on the committee voted 6-4, with all Democrats opposing, to basically direct the University of Wisconsin system to submit any sort of COVID-19 safety measures that relate to physical access to buildings or you know, COVID-19 policies that might carry disciplinary action with them. They want them all submitted as an emergency rule to this committee, and the committee then would vote on that. So the university system has 30 days to get this information in an emergency rule format to the committee. And there's an expectation from a lot of people that the rules will then just be rejected by the committee.
Right. This could, with that timing you just mentioned, if they submit now, then they could be rejected right around the day students are starting to show up in class. Is that about right?
Yeah, essentially the day that the committee made the vote, 30 days after that would be September 2nd. And that's when most campuses, 8 out of the 13 UW universities, will start their classes. So the timing, it seems, you know, pretty specific that they're doing this now. But other campuses start the next week, basically. It's going to be interesting to see how this plays out.
What have we heard from Republicans on this committee about why they wanted to have this rule?
Well, Senator Steve Noss of Whitewater, State Senator Steve Noss, mentioned that prior to taking this vote, he put out a press release saying that he was going to do this. And he said that some chancellors in the UW system have used used the Delta variant of the coronavirus to kind of whip up hysteria and go beyond where they should with regards to restrictions like face masks and things like that. They also mentioned that the UW system has to do this anyway under the law, which is interesting because, you know, the University of Wisconsin system, their rules are made via the UW Board of Regents. And I don't remember maybe one other example where the UW system actually put rules forward to this committee for approval. And that other example that I bring up is when about 3 years ago, the UW system was coming up with rules on campus free speech and punishments for students that disrupt speakers repetitively. So it's kind of a novel approach from where I'm sitting.
What have we heard from UW system leadership, including interim president, former governor, Tommy Thompson?
Yeah. So when Senator Noss first mentioned that he was going to go this route, Tommy Thompson, interim president of the UW system, put out a statement saying that basically, you know, it's going to make it harder for UW campuses to stay open. And by that, he means, you know, have in-person classes and do the things that they say students want to do, you know, have be able to meet on campus, go to classes, and hold extracurricular activities. This, you know, obviously comes a year after everything was essentially put online, and a lot of students didn't like that. So Thompson says that without being able to do anything really to try to mitigate the virus on campus or encourage vaccinations, it's just going to make it harder, or could make it harder for them to try to stay the course and bring things kind of back to normal.
Talking to Rich Kramer, WPR reporter who covers higher education, looking at a Republican-led committee in the state legislature saying that the UW system will have to submit COVID safety measures for approval. You can join in with your thoughts on that at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Tom is with us in Madison. Tom, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I'm just wondering if COVID has an incredible ally in the Republican Party in Wisconsin. They walked out of COVID emergency meetings a year ago. They never showed up at the Capitol for over 270 days. And they fought mask mandates, gathering limitations, and social distancing during this entire thing. I don't understand the motivation. And this is purely political. It has nothing to do with medical. Steve Nass has no medical background. No one on this committee has medical background. They're just doing it to fire up an unfortunately ignorant base. And I want to know, what is the legal standing that they have to even say they can do this with UW?
Tom, thanks for that call. Let's jump on that last point. Rich, is there an expectation that one way or another this may end up in courts?
Yes. The short answer is yes. The legal standing, I reached out to what's known as legislative counsel. They are essentially lawyers that work for state lawmakers. And the answer that I got was pretty basic, is that UW system is a state agency like others. And therefore, they're required to, you know, follow these laws and submit things to this committee. Again, what's interesting is that that just hasn't been the process in the past, that UW has been able to do its rules through the Board of Regents. But there is an expectation that this will wind up in court one way or another. You know, one person that mentioned that outright was State Representative Lisa Subek, a Democrat on the committee, who was very angry. She says, she told me that I have no idea what statutory authority Senator Nass thinks that he has. And it's just going to go to court. She believes that the courts would rule in the UW system's favor. So I'm not sure what'll happen, but it seems like it's very possible that this could make it through the courts.
Thanks a lot for that call. Rich, as I understand it, UW campuses have not had vaccine requirements, but dominoes are falling when it comes to mask requirements. What's going on?
That's right. Just minutes before joining the program, University of Wisconsin Eau Claire and University of Wisconsin Stout, two of the campuses in my neck of the woods, I'm up in Eau Claire, they issued a joint statement saying that they're going to bring back face masks for everybody, regardless of your vaccination status. And that follows three campuses that did it already. I think UW-Milwaukee was the first, maybe a week or two ago, that they instituted a mask mandate. UW-Madison and UW-La Crosse have as well. And I've already been asked, you know, can they do that, you know, without, you know, because of what's going on with this committee? And it sure seems that they believe they can. And the way I understand it is that whatever they're doing just has to make it through the emergency rule process, you know, and be submitted within those 30 days, which would be August 2nd. So, yes, that I have a hunch that we're going to see more and more UW campuses, some technical colleges, and some private schools have also brought back masks with regards to the rise in daily COVID cases and the Delta variant.
Rich, as we wrap up, what are you watching for next when it comes to COVID guidelines on campuses versus what's going on in the legislature?
Well, it's kind of like deja vu. I mean, a year ago, we're just about to the point where students start to move back into the dorms. And I remember a lot of students were concerned about their safety on campus. I'm going to have to start looking at that again. Like you mentioned, it doesn't look like there's going to be any vaccine mandates for UW campuses, but they're certainly doing a lot of things to try to incentivize students. I mean, Thompson has offered 70 different or $500,000 worth of scholarships through a lottery system for students that prove that they've been vaccinated. His goal is to get them, get campuses above 70% across the state. So really what I'm watching is what happens with this committee and that, you know, maybe the court action after that, if it goes to the courts, but also just going to try to talk to some students before they start moving into the dorms.
Before I let you go, Rich, let's hear from Paul in Richland Center. Paul, hi.
Hey, thank you very much. I am so angry at Steve Nass and his committee that I will clean up my language. I'm calling in defense of Tommy Thompson. I've never been a fan of Tommy Thompson as his many years of governor of this state, but he's trying to do the right thing for the university system, to keep these students in face-to-face classes and keep the economies going of the cities in which these universities are placed. The two cities that I am most familiar with are, I'm a graduate of UW-Whitewater. Whitewater wouldn't exist.
But Paul, I'm going to jump in because we don't have a lot of time left with Rich, but that role of Tommy Thompson, now Republican leader of the state for a long time, HHS secretary under the Bush administration, the second Bush administration, now finds himself at odds with his former Republican colleagues.
Yeah, this certainly isn't the first time. I mean, there during the budget negotiations, there was some tension between Tommy, or at least with the UW system and lawmakers. A lot of people thought that Tommy would be able to swoop in and kind of get whatever he wanted. Didn't work that way. But yes, it's going to be really interesting to see how he's got the experience as HHS secretary, as you mentioned. And he also said with regards to vaccinations that he doesn't believe that UW could require them because it's under an emergency use authorization. Other universities around the country have, but so yeah, it there's some tension.
Rich, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you, Reb.
That's Rich Kramer. He covers higher education for WPR. He's based in Eau Claire. Up next, we'll talk to a national higher education reporter about how this is working out at colleges and universities and states around the country when it comes to COVID-19 safety measures. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Should colleges require mask wearing or vaccinations? Are you involved with a campus as a student, faculty, staff member, parent of student? What do you think? Call 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about universities and colleges and how they're handling COVID-19 safety measures ahead of the fall semester. We just heard what's going on in Wisconsin and the state legislature. Let's look elsewhere now. Elizabeth Redden is with us, reporter for Inside Higher Ed, who's been covering mask and vaccine mandates in higher education. You can join in with your thoughts on the topic at 800-642-1234. Elizabeth, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You have been following this issue. We're not alone in Wisconsin, right? This is a hot topic on campuses around the country.
Oh, absolutely. I think every campus in the country obviously is grappling with the changing circumstances brought about by the Delta variant and trying to figure out what to do this fall. Wisconsin's not alone there. It's not alone in terms of reimposing mask mandates. And it's also not alone in facing state-level restrictions on that seek to limit in some way some of the responses they might be able to universities might be able to put forward.
Before we dig into specific cases, Elizabeth, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems like everybody is intending and hoping to do in-person college, right? Nobody is aiming to go virtual this fall if they can at all help it. Do I have that right?
By and large, yes. I can't think of anyone off the top of my head. I always hesitate to say absolutely no one's going to be virtual, but by and large, people are planning for an in-person semester. We're really, most of the conversations are centering around things like vaccine mandates versus vaccine incentivizing vaccines, mask mandates, et cetera. But most are wanting an in-person semester as close to normal as possible.
Let's look at vaccine mandates. Here in Wisconsin, we've got some of our biggest private colleges and universities, including Marquette, saying, yeah, vaccinations, public, UW system, nope. The legislature probably wouldn't let them do that. Are you seeing a lot of mandated vaccines in higher education around the country?
Yeah, so we're seeing right now there's more than 600 colleges nationally that have mandated vaccines for either faculty or for either employees or students or both. So we are seeing a good number that are going that direction. We've also seen some movement toward I think accelerated movement toward embracing vaccine mandates over the past 2 weeks or so with the rise of the Delta variant. For example, in Michigan, University of Michigan and Michigan State just announced a vaccine mandate for all faculty, students, and staff last week. I think it was last Friday. The University of California and California State University both moved up the timeline for their vaccine requirements. They were originally going to wait until the FDA gave one of the three vaccines full approval. Currently, they're authorized for emergency use, but they decided to go ahead and move up the timeline and require the vaccines for this fall for everyone. So we are certainly seeing, I think, an acceleration in uptick of the vaccine mandate approach, but there are a lot of places that are not requiring vaccines, and in many places where there are political considerations that limit their ability to do so.
We just talked about a handful of UW campuses having now mask mandates in place as of today or kicking in soon. How common are mask mandates around the country?
Yeah, I think that's another area where we're seeing a lot of change over the past week or so. So last week, the CDC revised its guidance to recommend that people should wear masks indoors while in public, regardless of their vaccination status. That represented a change from the previous guidance. So in the wake of that, we are seeing more colleges reimpose mask mandates for indoor spaces.
Now, to compare and contrast, we just talked about a conflict between the university and a part of the state government in Wisconsin. You covered South Carolina. What's going on there?
Yeah, so University of South Carolina is one example of a state that did just what I mentioned after the CDC, I believe it was after the CDC revised their guidance last week. They came out and said that they were going to require masks on campus. I'm sorry, masks while indoors on campus. So they reimposed a mask mandate, but they had to back away from that yesterday, and they said they would no longer require masks while indoors on campus after the state attorney general issued an advisory opinion essentially saying that a law that was passed by the legislature this year was intended to bar mandatory mask wearing on campuses as well as mandatory vaccination.
Talking to Elizabeth Redden, reporter for Inside Higher Ed, about how colleges and universities are handling things like a mask mandates, vaccination requirements for the fall semester, and conflicts in some cases, as in Wisconsin, between public universities and their state governments. Elizabeth, are we seeing a difference depending on who controls the state government in how this is being treated?
We are. I mean, the restrictions are largely, if not entirely, in states that have we're seeing coming from Republican governors or Republican-controlled legislatures.
What are some of the things you're watching for right now as, you know, there's just a few weeks left and places are scrambling with these new guidelines. What is still up in the air at a lot of campuses right now?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think one thing I've been thinking about a lot is, probably the biggest thing is what the vaccination numbers end up shaking out as being at a lot of campuses. So even whether universities are requiring vaccines or not, a lot are keeping close tabs, have asked students to report whether they're vaccinated or to provide documentation of whether they're vaccinated by a certain date. Many of those dates are just around now. Some of them were August 1st. Some are doing August 15th. You know, so really we're in that window of period where students are reporting their vaccination status. So I think a lot of universities are holding their breath to see what percentage of students report vaccination. So I think that's one variable. I think another variable is, frankly, you know, I think prior to a lot of the fall plans were put in place, you know, toward the end of the spring. That was when planning was really, a lot of this planning was happening. And at that point, you know, cases were dropping nationally. Vaccinations were, you know, continuing apace. And there was, I think, a lot of optimism about the fall. And, you know, with what we're learning about the Delta variant in terms of its increased transmissibility, what we're seeing, concerns we've been hearing about that, you know, have, I think, just thrown a wrench in a lot of colleges' plans and forced them to really rethink all sorts of policies. So I will be interested to see if we see changes to other policies in the coming weeks. I mean, I think the mask mandates and the vaccine mandates are the two areas where we've seen the most movement, but I'm certainly curious to see what we see in terms of some of the other restrictions that were in place last fall. Do we see places restricting group sizes? Do we see places, enforcing social distancing or physical distancing in the classrooms? I mean, I think there's still a lot of variables that colleges are thinking about because the underlying circumstances have changed with the Delta variant.
And earlier this week, you covered a statement from the American College Health Association and a bunch of other higher education groups critical of states that limit their university's ability to do things like require masks. In our last few moments, what case did they make?
Yeah, so essentially these groups, so the American College Health Association joined with about two dozen other higher education groups, including, you know, some of the major higher education associations like American Council on Education. They were pretty strong in their wording. They said that states that are restricting the ability of colleges to do things like, there are some states that are restricting the ability of colleges to require vaccines, public colleges in particular, some that are restricting the ability to require masks. There are some that are even restricting the ability to do things to require testing in certain circumstances, COVID testing. So the statement was quite strong. It described these sorts of restrictions as dangerous. It said that some of these restrictions directly contradict guidance from the CDC, that they undermine, I'm quoting, they undermine the ability of all organizations, including colleges and universities, to operate safely and fully at a time of tremendous unpredictability. So they were quite strong in saying that you guys are don't handcuff universities. They need to have as much flexibility as possible.
And Elizabeth, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Elizabeth Redden, reporter at Inside Higher Ed, with us today to talk about the ways that colleges and universities around the country are approaching COVID-19 safety measures ahead of the fall semester.